Blog Talk Radio.
Yevarechecha Adonai v'yishmerecha. Ya'er Adonai panav elecha v'yichunecha. Yisa Adonai panav elecha v'yasem lecha shalom.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace.
And good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Tuesday night Bible study. We're very glad that you're here with us tonight. We had a great show on Sunday night. We had over 5,000 people who listened to that show. We had over 450 people in the chat room at one time, and we just broke every single record that we had for number of listens and numbers of chatters, and it was just a real exciting time. And again, I just want to thank our guest that evening, Chris Kitsy from beforeitsnews.com. Great guy. He was a great guest, and I hope you all really enjoyed that program and are sharing the links with your friends and neighbors, because a lot of very important stuff was talked about in that show. Tonight's Bible study, we're going to once again take a look at the Mark of the Beast, and there's a number of reasons why we need to revisit the Mark of the Beast. First of all, technology is accelerating very, very rapidly. And we're going to look at the role of technology in the part of the Mark of the Beast. It ultimately doesn't play a role, because when the devil takes over the Antichrist, he needs no human agencies of any kind. The devil does not need social media. He does not need the internet. The devil does not need the RFID chip and all those things. But the Antichrist sure does. And we're going to look at the difference between the Antichrist and the devil. And we're going to look at some really important things tonight. And it's going to give you a good grasp of how close we are to the end of everything. Now, if you're saved tonight, you are not looking or shouldn't be looking for the Antichrist. The Bible says in Titus chapter 2, verse 13, that we who are saved are to be looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And that is the hope of the Christian today. That is the hope of the blood-washed, blood-bought, redeemed child of God, is that we are out of here in the rapture of the Church of Jesus Christ. Now, for those of you who are not saved tonight, and I know that whenever we do a show, I am addressing saved and lost people. And to the lost, I would say, you don't need to be lost. The Bible says in John chapter 3, verse 16, for God so loved the world, that's you, that He gave His only begotten Son, that's Jesus, that whosoever should believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And if you will accept Jesus Christ as your Savior tonight, you don't ever have to worry about the mark of the beast. You don't ever have to worry about the time of the great tribulation, because the Bible clearly teaches that we will be pulled out of here in the rapture prior to the time of the great tribulation. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Let's listen to some music. Let's begin to make that shift from our very, very busy work days and go right into, gradually, into a nice time of Bible study. I also want to say tonight how grateful that I am for my children. I have the greatest kids in the world. You should see their beautiful faces. If you ever got to spend time with them, you would know that my kids are the greatest kids that any parent could ever ask for, and I love them with all my heart. And I'm grateful that they will never have to face the Antichrist, and I'm grateful that they will never have to struggle through the time of the Great Tribulation, because they're saved. All of my kids have accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior, and when the time comes, the Lord's going to pull them and us up and out of here. The Bible says, Titus chapter 2, verse 13, and you will notice if you're a regular listener to this show, I get on that verse and I stay on that verse constantly, because Titus 2, 13 is the hope of the Christian living in these end times. The Bible says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, we come before you tonight and we ask for your blessing. We're grateful, we're needy, we're spiritually hungry, and we ask you to give us something from your word tonight, Lord. Let us leave different than when we came. Change us, God. And if there are lost people listening, as there always are, Lord, just knock on the door of their heart and let them know that they need Jesus as their Savior, or they'll spend an eternity in the devil's hell from which there is no escape. So, Lord, we lift you up tonight, ask you to bless this show, ask you to bless this program. We're going to be talking about the devil tonight. We're going to be talking about the Antichrist. We're going to be talking about the RFID microchip. We're going to be talking about Islam. We're going to be talking about so many things tonight, Lord. But Father God, let Jesus be the focus. Let your Holy Spirit be our guide, and let heaven be our goal. And we ask it, Lord, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. All right. I want to also say to all you out there in Blog Talk Radio land that the orders for the Christian track and for the Lucas track have been coming in steadily, and we're so very thankful. We're so very grateful that you call in and you write in and you say, how can I get the Lucas track and how can I get the Christian track and all that stuff. We want to give you a free box of gospel tracts tonight, and if somebody would put the link into the chat room, please, for ordering the Christian track. Kim and Carol Magdalene from ChristianTrends.com, they publish this excellent track, the Christian track as well as the Lucas track, and these are absolutely tested in the fire. Tested on Main Street USA, looking people in the eye and handing them a track. And as you see them walk away, they have their nose knee deep in the middle of it. And we want to give you a box of these free gospel tracks. And when I say free, they're absolutely free. All you have to do is just pay a couple dollars for the shipping. But when you click on that link that Jackie just put in the chat room, and for those of you listening without chatting, it's ChristensFriends.com, K-R-I-S-T-I-N-S, Friends.com, and just find the link for the track. And they're going to send you a box of 210 of the most beautiful gospel tracks you've ever seen in your life. And a couple of hundred people have gotten saved from reading these tracks, and we would like to help you start your street ministry by sending you a box absolutely free. All you have to do is click on the link or go to ChristensFriends.com, and they'll be happy to get a box out to you. All orders ship the next day. So it's fast, it's good, and you're going to love it. Speaking of that, this next song is from the voice of Now the End Begins Radio, Kristen Lee Magdalene, for whom the Christian track is named after and dedicated to, singing, I just want to thank you, Lord. Amen.
For making the sun to shine, putting the stars in the sky, for flowers that bloom, the ocean so blue. Thank you, Lord, for the sparrow that sings and makes sweet melody, for rivers that flow, the rain and the snow. Thank you, Lord, for being a friend so dear, giving my sad heart cheer, for holding my hand when I could not stand. Thank you, Lord, for giving your life for me on that cross at Calvary, for taking my place. Your mercy and grace, thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord, for everything that you've done for me. Thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, for making me whole and saving my soul. Thank you, Lord. And I've got so much to thank Him for, so much to praise Him for, you see. He's been so good to me. And when I think of what He's done and where He's brought me from, I've got so much to thank Him for. Thank you, Lord.
I've got so much to thank Him for. Thank you, Lord. When's the last time that you stopped and thanked the Lord? You can dress yourself. You can get yourself out of bed in the morning. You can brush your own teeth, comb your own hair, prepare your own food. You have food to eat. You know, every Tuesday morning, Brother Kim and I and the High Coves and the Honeyfields and a bunch of other people, we go to the nursing home on Tuesday mornings, and we see people who can't do those functions for themselves anymore, and they are 100% dependent on the helpers and the attendants at the nursing home. If you ever want to really start to remember what gratitude is all about, why don't you go volunteer at your local nursing home and see people? And you won't just see old people. You'll see people who are 30, 40, and 50 who have been in massive car wrecks and are quadriplegics and all sorts of, you know, horrendous, horrendous horror stories. That could be you. But you know what? It's not you. So as you begin to think about, as we get closer to Christmas, I want you to begin to think about the things that you're grateful for. You know, Brother Woodard Holland preached at our church about 2 weeks ago, and he said something amazing. He said this. He said, what if you woke up tomorrow morning with only the things that you had thanked the Lord for last night? Think about that. What if you wake up tomorrow morning with only the things that you thanked God for tonight? Wouldn't that be a different kind of day tomorrow? Sure would be. There would be so many refrigerators that would have nothing in them. There would be so many places where there would be no refrigerators. Think about it. If you only had the stuff that you thanked God for, what would you have? Well, a little food for thought for you there. And I hope you do think about it, because God is very, very big on gratitude. He really is. We're going to do a Bible study one night on gratitude from a biblical perspective, and it will really blow you away. This next song, speaking of thanking God, I guess we're going to stay with that theme tonight. I guess there's somebody who needs to hear it. I know I need to hear it. I need to be reminded of all the good things that God has given me. I was saying just before the song how grateful I am for my children and how much I love my kids. There's so many things that I'm grateful for in my life. What are you grateful for? You know, this time of the year, we go from Thanksgiving, we go to Christmas, and I just wonder how much of us are really, really, really aware of the blessings that God has given us. This next song, Thank God I Made It, sung by the gospel group Forgiven. And I am very, very happy to call these gentlemen friends of mine, Brother Roger Heiko, T.K. Waters, Josh Manning, and Brother Lance Honeyfield. And I hope you enjoy this next song, Thank God I Made It.
The Lord did cry, he is a sinner, and now he must die.
Very, very few people have actually left listening to the show, and I'm very grateful for that. And we have so many new listeners and just people writing in all the time. You know, one night I'll read to you some of the emails that I get, and people are just so grateful for the King James Bible teaching and the fact that we stand strong on doctrine. And we play the old time hymns, and you know, we stick to the platform of the Bible, and so few people do that these days. You know, so many ministries are built on opinion and commentary and a desire to just want to make money, and we're not like that here. We, you know, we need money to operate. We have long since passed the point where we can operate for free. We can't. And it costs thousands of dollars per year to run the website and run the radio show and do all the things we do. But you guys are very, very gracious, and you guys send in money from time to time, which is very helpful. This show is sponsored in part by ChristensFriends.com now. So hopefully that we'll be on the air for a long, long time. Mark Sperling is asking me a question. He says, Jeff, I'm looking for a gift for my mother. Do you know of any good King James study Bibles? Yes, Mark, I absolutely do. Let me put the link in for the church, for the hold on just a second here. The link. You know, it's funny. When people on big radio shows, they do these things. They have all sorts of people to do things for them, and it's, you know, it's astonishingly hard to try and type and talk at the same time, and to be typing something different than what you're talking. But I just put a link into the chat room, Mark. Please click on that link, and you want to get her a great Bible. Get her a Ruckman study Bible. Peter Ruckman from Pensacola Bible Institute puts out a study Bible. I've had mine for the last 4 years, 3 years or so, and I love my Ruckman study Bible. So click on that link. They're not cheap, but they're really super nice, and I think that she'll love it. I actually have two of them. So I hope that helps, brother. I hope that helps. All right, we're going to play one more song, and then we're going to jump right into tonight's topic. What is tonight's topic? I think I've forgotten what the topic is. Just kidding. Tonight's topic is the RFID microchips, 666, and the coming Mark of the Beast. It is coming. You can't stop it, but we're not waiting for that. We're waiting for the blessed hope. The Bible says in Titus chapter 2, verse 13, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearance of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ.
I hear the sound of a mighty rushing wind, and it's closer now than it's ever been. I can almost hear the trumpet as Gabriel sounds call, and at the midnight cry, when Jesus comes again, when Jesus steps out. midnight cry. When Jesus comes again. As I look around me, I see prophecy fulfilling. The signs of the time, you know they're appearing everywhere. I can almost hear the Father as he says, son, go get your children. And at the midnight cry,
dedicated to you, Lulu. Very glad you're listening tonight. One of the ways, there's many ways that you can support this ministry. First and foremost, we need your prayers. We need you to pray for us and to that the Lord would give us wisdom and to let us know what stories to do, what stories not to do, where to get involved, where not to get involved, you know. There's lots of wisdom that we need. But another way that you can support us, which is very, very helpful, is we have a portal on beforeitsnews.com. And every time somebody views the links to any of our stories, it's compensated for it. You know, the Bible says to muzzle not the ox that treadeth out the corn, and labor is worthy of his hire. And one way that we earn money to support this ministry is we publish these stories, which are picked up by news outlets like beforeitsnews.com, and we receive financial compensation for these stories. Now, I'm putting the link into the chat room. If you would bookmark that link that I just put in right now, from beforeitsnews.com on the Now the End Begins section. And we do about, I don't know, about 10 stories per week that we publish. And all you have to do is go read our stories and share those links with your friends. And you will be directly supporting the work of this ministry. So if you could do that, we would be very grateful. We'd be very appreciative. Just go to beforeitsnews.com and the contributor section. Look for Now the End Begins. And just share our stories. And when you do that, you help us out and you keep the lights on and you keep the website cranking. You know, the Apostle Paul was not above that. The Bible says that Paul was a tent maker by trade. And he wrought that craft
whenever he needed to make money. So that's it. Thank you very, very much for being here tonight. We really appreciate it. Open your Bibles, if you would, to the 13th chapter of the book of Revelation. And please use your King James Bible, because if you don't, you're going to be wondering what we're talking about, because all Bible versions are not the same. Let me read something for you, something that I received in an email just the other day. And, you know, for those of you who don't think that there is a difference in Bible versions, I want you to read this. Well, listen, I'm going to read it to you. Let me just find it now. And what I'm about to read to you very, very starkly illustrates the difference between the King James Bible and, oh, just about any other Bible that you could possibly think of. And, you know, we don't get on the King James Bible hobby horse, but there is a reason why we recommend it and why we only use it and why you should never use any other Bible version. Let me see if I can find this. Sometimes I forget how many people come to the Now the End Begins Facebook page wow, people leaving lots of comments here. Lots and lots and lots of comments. Well, I don't know if I'll be able to find it in time, but suffice to say that this man had written to me and, well, you know, hold on a second. Let me just go. It's Psalm 84, verse 6. And Psalm 84, where is 84? There's 84. Verse 6. No, or it was 86 verse 4. That's what it was. That's what it was. Psalm 86 verse 4. And I want to read it to you in a different version first. I want to read it to you in the NIV. The NIV version of Psalm 86 verse 4 says this: "Bring joy to your servant, Lord, for I put my trust in you." Now, let's take a look at what the King James Version says. Exact same verse. Look at what the King James says. "Rejoice the soul of thy servant, for unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul." And you can see that that's a completely different verse than the NIV version. And one of the main things that the NIV version leaves out is the directive to the Lord himself. In the King James, it says, "For unto thee, O Lord." And in the NIV, it just says, "Lord." And if you don't think that that is a strong difference, then you're fooling yourself, because words are very important. Words are very important. So please use the King James Bible at all times. You'll be very glad that you did. I believe that that's God's preserved word for our generation. I don't really like to debate Bible versions. My eyes get glassy pretty quickly. But just suffice to say that King James has it all, and the others do not. All right, let's open up our Bibles tonight, and let's go to Revelation chapter 13. And I want to look at Revelation chapter 13 tonight. That's where we read about the mark of the beast. And I want to show you a few things about the mark of the beast that perhaps you haven't considered before. Maybe you have, maybe you haven't, I don't know. But even if you have, it's very good to review these things and to go over them from time to time and refresh our memories. I don't know about you, but I don't have a computer-like brain. I forget a lot of things. And it's just very, very good to refresh our memories. And, you know, the Lord can show us new things every single time. In Revelation 13, verse 1, we read, John is talking, and he says, "And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the names of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast." Heavenly Father, I just feel constrained to ask you one more time tonight, Lord, to lead and guide this Bible study. Keep us safe while we study about the beast and the Antichrist and the false prophet and the devil. Lord, we don't want to give him any glory. We don't want to give him any publicity, but you put this into your word for a reason. We need to know it. So just please keep us safe while we go through your word tonight, Lord, and to us. Bless it to us in a new and fresh and exciting way. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, in Revelation 13, verse 1, John is standing upon the sand of the sea, and out of the sea he sees the beast rise up. The sea represents the global mass of humanity. And that's what we see being represented by the sea. And coming up out of this throng of people, John sees a beast. And, you know, the devil is the great imitator of God. We read, in fact, just turn to Ezekiel chapter 14. I think it's Ezekiel 14. Let's see if I'm right. Turn to Ezekiel chapter 14. And let's take a look at the devil. And it might be Isaiah 14. Yep, Isaiah 14. I'm getting older. My memory is not what it used to be. Not even close. So let's see if it's in Isaiah. Hopefully it is. Let's see here. No. Why can't I? Oh, yes. No, here it is. It's been a long day and I'm tired. Bear with me. But I'm very excited to be here at the Bible study tonight. The Bible says, starting in verse 11, Isaiah 14, verse 11, "Thy pomp is brought down to the grave and the noise of thy vials. The worm is spread under thee and the worms cover thee. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit upon the mount of the congregations in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, and I will be like the Most High." He's an imitation, is what he is. Now, let's count the numbers of I wills. Verse 13, I will ascend into heaven. 1, I will exalt my throne. 2, I will sit upon the mount. 3, verse 14, I will ascend above the heights. 4, I will be like the Most High. Very interesting. The number 5 in the Bible is the number for judgment and death and destruction. The number of the devil is number, well, the number of the Antichrist is 666, but the number of the devil is 5. And wherever you see the devil, you will see the number 5 trailing around him constantly. And we're reading here in Isaiah 14, it's talking about the end of the devil, when he is brought down to the very hell that he sought to cast so many people into. And we read that the devil is just going crazy. In verse 13, he said, "I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation. I will ascend above the height of the clouds. I will be like the Most High." You know what's really interesting about the devil? And I don't know if you've ever picked this up, but what's really interesting about the devil is that he doesn't start his own deal. All he wants to do is to copy what God's doing, but just in a very negative way. You know, have you ever wondered about that? Like the devil is cast down to earth, but he spends all of his time trying to ascend back up to heaven. He spends all of his time trying to copy God. Instead, you know, he doesn't come up with anything new, nothing unique, nothing original. And all that he wants to do is he wants to copy God. So he is the great, imitator of God. You know, some of the new Bible versions talk about, they change the verses to say that we are to imitate God. You know, the Apostle Paul says, put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, the new versions, they translate that out to be imitate God or imitate Christ. And the last thing that you want to do is to imitate Jesus Christ, because you can't imitate him. You can't even be like him. The Bible says that when we leave this world, we will be given a new glorified body and we'll be given the mind of Christ. Then will you be like Jesus Christ. But from our perspective right here and right now, Jesus Christ is the one and only. You can't imitate him. You can't be like him, because he is so far above you and I. The distance is unbridgeable in terms of us being like him. But the Bible does say that we can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth us. And Paul tells us to put on the Lord Jesus Christ and to put on the new man, which is not made after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And to remind ourselves that it's the Holy Spirit working inside of us now. But in terms of imitating Jesus Christ, you can't do it. You can't do it. You don't have the strength and you don't have the power. Jesus Christ never had to apologize one time. Have you ever thought about that? Jesus Christ never said, I'm sorry, for something that he had to apologize for. Jesus Christ was the only perfect person that this world has ever seen. Romans 13:14 says, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Paul is not telling you to imitate Jesus Christ. An imitation is a cheap copy. That's what an imitation is. If you walk down Fifth Avenue in New York City, they will sell you an imitation Rolex watch for $20. But why is it only $20? Because it's a cheap copy, and nobody wants the cheap copy. Everybody wants the original. And if you're saved tonight, one day you will be like Jesus Christ when you're in heaven. Kristen, we heard her sing earlier. She is like Jesus Christ right now. Anna is like Jesus Christ right now. Glenda is like Jesus Christ now, because they've gone on. They don't have their glorified bodies yet, but they do have the mind of Christ. So anyway, I just wanted to show you that that the devil he's the imitator of God. And you can't imitate God, so don't even bother trying. Turn back to Revelation 13, please. Revelation 13, John is seeing the Antichrist coming up out of the ocean. And verse 2 says, and the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat, and great authority. So here, turn to Matthew 24. I want to show you something. Turn to Matthew 24. And I hope you're taking notes, because all this stuff really strings together very, very nicely. If you remember, about 8 months ago, we went through all of Matthew 24 and all of Matthew 25. It took us 2.5 months to do it, but we did it. And if you get a chance, go back into the archive and listen to some of those programs, and it will greatly help you. Look at Matthew 24, verse 15. Verse 14. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then the end shall come. When you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. Turn to Daniel chapter 9. If Jesus is telling us to pay attention to Daniel's writings, then what Daniel wrote must have great importance attached to it. Look at verse 27 of Daniel chapter 9, talking about the Antichrist. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation. And that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. Now, go back just a couple of chapters and turn to Daniel chapter, let me see here. No, I don't want 3. I think I want 4 or 5. Turn to Daniel chapter The really good thing about the book of Daniel is that you can't understand the book of Revelation without the book of Daniel. And, you know, that's why Jesus was so strong on getting you to get into the book of Daniel, because you definitely need Daniel's book to be able to understand what's coming. Now, in Daniel's writings, he saw four beasts that were going to rise up, and he was very, very, where is it? I'm having a tough night. You guys got to pray for me. Definitely having a tough night. Maybe it's in Daniel chapter 2. Daniel talks about these beasts because King Nebuchadnezzar was having these visions. And Daniel was the only one that could interpret. And, well, turn to Daniel chapter 2, and we'll take a look at the image that Daniel saw. You all know the story. Nebuchadnezzar has a dream, and he can't interpret the dream, and no one else can either. And he wants to make sure that his wise men aren't lying to him. So he says, I'm not going to tell you the dream. You got to tell me the dream, and then you got to tell me the interpretation. And of course, no human being could do that. But Daniel was told the dream by God and was given the interpretation. And in Daniel 2, verse 31, we have Daniel's interpretation of the king's dream. And he says, thou, O king, sawest and behold a great image. This great image, whose brightness was excellent, stood before thee, and the form thereof was terrible. His image head was of fine gold, his breast and his arms of silver, his belly and thighs of brass, his legs of iron, his feet part of iron and part of clay. So Daniel sees that the king's dream was about four kingdoms that were going to arise. And the very first kingdom that Daniel saw was King Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom. And then the last kingdom that Daniel saw was the kingdom at the end of time. And he saw the revived Roman Empire, which is where the Antichrist comes in. Now turn to Daniel chapter 7, and I want to show you this. Daniel 7, verse 1, in the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head upon his bed. Then he wrote the dream and told the sum of the matters. Daniel spake and said, I saw in my vision by night, behold, the four winds of the heaven strove upon the great sea. Now look at that verse too. Daniel is saying that there are four winds from heaven, and they strove upon the great sea. That's the same sea that John saw in Revelation 13. That sea represents humanity. And verse 3 says, and four great beasts came up from the sea, diverse from one from another. Verse 4 says, the first was like a lion and had eagle's wings. I beheld till the wings thereof were plucked, and it was lifted up from the earth and made to stand upon the feet as a man. And a man's heart was given to it. And behold, another beast, a second like unto the bear, and it raised up itself on one side and had three ribs in the mouth of it between the teeth of it. And they said thus unto it, arise, devour much flesh. And after this, I beheld, and lo, another, like a leopard, which had upon the backs of it four wings of a fowl. The beast had also four heads, and dominion was given to it. After this I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, and strong exceedingly, and it had great iron teeth, and it devoured and brake in pieces, and stamped the residue with the feet of it, and it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had, make a note of this, it had ten horns. And he says in verse 8, I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots, and behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking great things. I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as a burning fire. Now, turn to Revelation chapter 1. Okay, I'm going to start with the end of what we just read from Daniel. Daniel was describing the Ancient of Days, right? And we have a tendency to say, oh, that's God the Father, because it's the Old Testament. But look in Revelation chapter 1, verse 13. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle, his head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass. This is the same person from Daniel chapter 7. This is the Ancient of Days. And his feet were like unto fine brass, as it were burned in a furnace, and his voice is the sound of many waters. Now, who is this person? Who is this person? Well, this person says in verse 11, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. And go down to verse 18, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of death and hell. Now, how cool was that? Did you guys just see that Daniel chapter 7 was talking about the Ancient of Days sitting on the throne, talking about his hair and garments white as snow, and his throne like fire, and out of his mouth comes a fiery flame? Well, that's exactly the same person that John saw in Revelation chapter 1. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ himself. So if you're making notes, make a note in your Bible in Daniel chapter 7, Daniel chapter 7, verses 9 and 10. Just make a note that that's the Lord Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. And I think that's pretty cool. But let's turn back to Revelation chapter 13 now that we've had a look at Daniel, because Jesus told us to, from Matthew 24. Now, look back at verse 2 of Revelation 13. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his feet and great authority. And I saw, in the book of Daniel, we see beasts that are connected with world kingdoms, and we see beasts that are connected with the Antichrist. And here is that same beast or collection of beasts showing up in Revelation chapter 13. So, Revelation 13, and in the Bible, the number 13 stands for rebellion. That's why in your American flag, you have 13 colonies, and you have 13 stripes, and the number 13 is all through the nation of America. And one of the reasons for that is because America is a nation that was founded on rebellion. We rebelled against the king, and that's how this country was started. The very first time that you read the word, or you see the number 13 show up in the Bible, it is connected with rebellion. So just keep that in your mind. Number 5 has to do with death and judgment. Number 13 has to do with rebellion. So back in Revelation 13, no accident, rebellion. Who is the greatest rebel of all time? It's the devil. So he gets the entire chapter of 13 dealing with him and all his shenanigans. And you can call Revelation 13 the rebellion chapter, absolutely. Because you know what the devil does at the Battle of Armageddon? He leads a rebellion. Do you know what the devil does at the Battle of Gog and Magog at the end of the millennium? He leads a rebellion. And what does the devil want to get you and I to do? To rebel against God, to rebel against Jesus Christ, to rebel against the Bible. That's why he wants us to do those things, because he is the king of rebellion. So anyway, I hope that sets the stage. All that had to be set in order for you to understand about the mark that is attached to the beast. So look in Revelation 13, starting in verse 11. Revelation 13, 11. And I beheld another beast coming out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb. I wonder who he's imitating now. And he spake as a dragon, and he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causes the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on earth in the sight of men. So here we see the false prophet showing up. Here we see the false prophet showing up, and he's causing the whole world to worship the Antichrist. So John the Baptist was the forerunner for Jesus Christ. Jackie, see if you could post the verse from the Gospels where John the Baptist says, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. He must increase, while I must decrease." So Jesus Christ, when he was being announced in his earthly ministry, was announced by his cousin, who we call, who the Bible calls, John the Baptizer or John the Baptist. And the main job of John the Baptist was to announce the start of the ministry of Jesus Christ. And you know what's very interesting? Jesus Christ's ministry lasted roughly 3.5 years. Does that number sound familiar at all? 3.5 years? Because in all through the New Testament, we read that the time of the Great Tribulation lasts for 3.5 years. John the Baptist introduced Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ ministry lasted for 3.5 years.
the false prophet is going to introduce the Antichrist, and his ministry is going to last 3.5 years as well. So again, the devil is the great imitator. And when you begin to compare scripture with scripture, I'll tell you, all this stuff becomes crystal clear after a while, and you can see the patterns unfolding before you. So Revelation 13 says that the false prophet will rise up, and he will cause the whole world to worship the first beast, which is the Antichrist. That's the beast that John, the Apostle John, in 13 verse 1, saw coming up out of the sea. Now, look to, verse 13. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on earth in the sight of men. One of the things that I strongly warn you about is that the Bible says that in the end of time, signs, miracles, and wonders will be the tool of the Antichrist. That's what Jesus says, that signs, miracles, and wonders will be the tool of the Antichrist, not the tool of apostles or prophets or preachers or teachers. So, because we are so close to that time, and again, and perhaps I just need to keep repeating this, we believe and teach in a pre-tribulation rapture that Jesus will come and get us prior to the tribulation. We believe that, we teach that, we preach that. We believe that there's going to be the rapture of the church, followed by the time of the great tribulation, during which the Antichrist will rise, and all the mark of the beast and all that stuff. And it will end in the battle of Armageddon when Jesus returns with us, as it says in Revelation 19:14, at the end of the great tribulation. But we are very, very, very close to the rapture, so that means that we are just to the time of the Great Tribulation, even though that we won't be here for it. You know, somebody asked me one time, why do you spend so much time talking about Matthew 24 and the tribulation if we're not going to be here? Well, sometimes it's good to think about others instead of yourself, right? If we're all saved and we're all going to heaven, why do we have to talk about the Antichrist? Why do we have to talk about the tribulation? Because there's lots of people who will be behind us, who will be left behind, who will listen to this radio show and will have no idea what's going on. I did a story a number of years ago, and I'll give you the link for it. I did a story a number of years ago called "You've Missed the Rapture of the Church, Now What?" And it's a really, really good reminder to the saved people, but it's also a great thing for you to just copy and paste to your Facebook page, to send in an email to friends of yours who may not be saved, because something like that can be a testimony long after we're gone. And people during that time will be confused, and they'll have no idea what's going on. And I just put the link into the chat room. It's called "You've Missed the Rapture of the Church, Now What?" Please share that link with everybody that you know. And, you know, let me see how many times it's been shared already. It's been shared over 10,000 times on Facebook. So, but hey, 10,000, 100,000. Grab that link and put it in your bookmarks and share that with your friends and neighbors, because there's going to be a lot of lost people who will read that, and hopefully that will help them. But signs, miracles, and wonders all through the New Testament, when the Bible is talking about the last days, signs, miracles, and wonders are a bad thing. They are not a good thing. Because the devil is going to use those, the ability to have signs, miracles, and wonders to fool people who aren't saved into thinking that that he's from God or that he is God. So stay away from signs, miracles, and wonders. They can't help you. We walk by faith, not by sight. We don't need signs, miracles, and wonders. All right, we're going to take a quick song break so I can catch my breath. And my voice is getting very raspy, and I apologize for that. Let me play a quick song. And when we come back, we're going to continue our study tonight in the Mark of the Beast in the number 666 and what all these things mean. And we've set the stage now. So when we get back, we're going to jump right into how to recognize the mark of the beast. Stay with us.
See my Jesus on the cross, the people crying, looking on, a man would think that's such a tragedy. But what the world could not see was when they nailed him to that tree. He broke the chains of sin and set men free.
where the blood fell, and I am glad that his precious blood covers me. I hope his blood covers you tonight. I truly do. Back to the book of Revelation, chapter 13. Verse 13, and he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. Stay away from signs, miracles, and wonders. They are not for you. It is not for our dispensation. I can't say that strongly enough. If you are ever in a church service where they start speaking in tongues or they start doing holy laughter or all of that is junk. It is not for us. We walk by faith. We do not walk by sight. Verse 14 says, and deceiveth, see, this is what the signs and wonders do, and deceiveth them which dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by the sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many should not worship the image of the beast should be killed. Now, that's making an image come alive. That's also in the book of Daniel. That's the image that the king Nebuchadnezzar made. So Daniel really is the companion book to the book of Revelation. But now look at verse 16. And all of that was set up for this. And he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Now, those of you who know me, I am not a Greek scholar. I am not a Hebrew scholar. I'm not even an English scholar, but like you, I can read English and I can understand what I read most of the time. The Bible says about the mark of the beast that it is a physical mark of some kind. The Bible does not say what form that this mark will take, other than that it is a mark that you receive, and you receive it, and I want you to, if you have a paper Bible, underline this, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. I want you to highlight or underline that word in both places where it appears in verse 16. In, not on. It is a mark that is going to control commerce and financial transactions. How do we know that? The very next verse, verse 17, says, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. So, two things that we know immediately from the Bible about the mark of the beast, that these two things are not up for debate. They are not optional. Some people think it's going to be a tattoo. Some people think it's going to be an RFID microchip. Some people think it's going to be this, it's going to be that, it's going to be whatever it form it finally takes, we're not going to be here to see it anyway. But suffice to say that the two non-negotiable aspects of the mark of the beast is that it has to go inside your body, not on the outside, on the inside. The second thing is it will control all financial transactions anywhere in the world. That is the specific purpose of the mark of the beast. To function as a mark that is put inside of your body, and the Bible says there's two places where this mark will go, either in your forehead or in the back of your right hand.
Again, why does the devil choose the right hand? Well, all you have to do is do a very quick word study in the Bible on all the places where the term right hand appears. Where does Jesus sit? At the right hand of God. The right hand of God is Jesus Christ. And again, the devil is an imitator. He's a counterfeiter. That's all he can do. He can't create anything. He's not original. All that he can do is copy God. So the mark of the beast, as the book of Revelation in these two verses clearly says, it is a mark that will go inside your body, and it is something that will control all financial transactions. So now let me tell you what the mark of the beast is not. There is a take on the mark of the beast, which was made popular by Walid Shubat, and a lot of people have been copying this, but as you can see, it can't possibly be true. Someone wrote to me tonight from Australia, and let me just pull up her email. In fact, I'm going to read it to you, and you'll understand what I mean very, very quickly. This woman wrote to us, and, you know, I love when people write to us. I really do, especially from far-flung places. It's great to hear what different people have to say you know, to hear what's going on. And she wrote tonight, and this was her question. She said, oh, brother. She said, let me just pull it up. Her name is Lee, and she is from Australia. And she wrote this. What do you say to people who feel that the mark of the beast is Islam and that the mark of the beast is not an RFID chip at all? She said, I don't know where I stand with all of this. I was brought up to believe what you teach on your Facebook wall about the chip in the hand that will be required to purchase anything eventually. But lately, my husband has been studying Islam and firmly believes that Islam is the beast and that the mark of the beast is their slogan saying that Allah is great. And Muslims wear this on their hands and on their head. She said, I am interested in your thoughts. When you have time, please. God bless, Lee. Well, Lee, I want to thank you very much for writing in all the way from Australia. We do appreciate it. But as Revelation 13 verses 16 and 17 clearly show, the mark of the beast is not Islam. It's not even religion. The mark of the beast is a physical mark that is created to go inside your body. In the back of your right hand and inside your forehead. It is not a slogan. It is not an ideology. It is not a religion. It's not a way of life. The mark of the beast is something that you can put in the box and mail to somebody. It is physical. It is something that will be implanted inside the human body. Now, it is quite possible that even though that it's implanted on the inside, that you'll be able to see it from the outside as well. That's certainly within the realm of possibility, and there's nothing in Scripture that would, you know, lead us to believe otherwise. So the mark of the beast is going to control all financial transactions. So let me ask you this. Do you think it is a massive coincidence that we live in a day and age where RFID microchips control everything? I want you to think about that for a minute. RFID microchips and chip technology and tracking technology controls
just about everything in our world. It controls the car you drive. When you go to the Gap and you buy a pair of jeans, have you ever seen that thing that when you go to the front, it looks like they take the back of the pants and they put them, kind of looks like a little waffle press, and they click and then they take something off? What they're taking off is the RFID tracking chip that's in those pants, even though that they can weave into the clothing the RFID chip when they want it to remain there permanently. Everything on your smartphone, on your tablets, on your PC, everything is controlled by these chips which track and send information. All hospitals, all Dow Jones, the stock market, the S&P 500, everything in our world is controlled by microchips of some kind, some form or another. I have a video that, and I should have gotten the sound clip tonight, but I didn't think of it till now. But I have a video where Vice President Joe Biden is interrogating Chief Justice John Roberts during his confirmation hearing, and he said to him that one day you will rule on microchips implanted inside a human being. Now, that is a video of record, and I'm going to put the link into the chat room. Please don't go listen to it now, but when the show is over, I want you to listen to it. And it's just very interesting that all of these things are popping up as we get closer and closer to the end of everything. Is it a coincidence that there are many pages in Obamacare which talk about implantable RFID devices? And everything is being run on implantable chips. Now, maybe you've heard that these chips are as small as a grain of rice. I'll go many steps further than that. These microchips are as thin as a piece of paper, and they can be woven into fabric, and you will never even see them. They are as small could ever be, and they are thinner than a human hair. Donna just posted the article that we did right before this show started, and this article was one reason why I wanted to do this show tonight. Walmart has a machine in their stores right now, and it is called the Solo Health Station. And in the bottom right-hand side of this machine, when you stand in front of it, at approximately the height of the average person for you to scan something is where the back of your right hand would be. And these machines scan barcodes. They scan RFID technology-enabled things. And when you have a chance, go and look at that video, okay? I want you to look at that video. I want you to read that article, and I want you to share it with everybody that you know, because we live in a day and age where people not only have no problem with this technology, they are embracing it wholeheartedly. Now, let me tell you something else that may go against the grain of what you've been taught. When the Antichrist comes in, in fact, let's go back to the book of Revelation and go to chapter 6, Revelation chapter 6, verse 1. And when I saw, when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, come and see. And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon had a bow, and a crown was given unto him. And he went forth conquering and to conquer. Those two verses show the start of the Great Tribulation. You want to know when the Great Tribulation starts? Revelation chapter 6, verse 1. The seals are being opened. People say to me all the time now, you know, do you think that the seals, the trumpets, and the bowls of judgment from the book of Revelation have started? And I say, no, that's impossible, because they don't start till Revelation chapter 6, and the rapture is in Revelation chapter 4. So even in the book of Revelation, you don't ever see one single seal being unsealed while the church is still on earth. You can't find that for me in the book of Revelation. It doesn't exist. But in Revelation 6, verse 2, John is looking and he sees somebody sitting on a white horse, but it's not Jesus Christ. It's the great imitator again. And he has a bow and he has a crown and he's going forth to conquer, and he's conquering. Do you know why he has no arrows in his bow? Because when the Antichrist arrives, he arrives in peace. When the takeover comes, it's not going to be with armed guards out in the streets. When the takeover comes, it's going to be the Antichrist is going to be doing it with peace. Now, Golfmeister just said, the first seal releases the white horse of the spirit of Antichrist. Actually, that first seal is the Antichrist, not just his spirit. I believe that Obama operates in the spirit of Antichrist. I don't think Obama is the Antichrist. Debbie is asking, will that be the great deception? Absolutely. And when the Antichrist arrives on the scene, he arrives as a peacemaker. He doesn't arrive as a tyrant. He's not conquering with physical means. The book of Daniel says, and Jackie, see if you can find this verse for me. I think it's in Daniel 10 or 11, where he talks about deceiving with flatteries. Look for that word flatteries in the book of Daniel. But that's the tool that the Antichrist uses. He's not using guns. He's not using chains and handcuffs and whips and guard dogs. He comes in peaceably. And in fact, he's so peaceful that he doesn't even need to put arrows in his bow. Now, Mark says, what about the Nephilim? Where do they come in? Well, in Matthew 24, Mark, we read that Jesus says, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the end of the world. Well, the days of Noah were the Nephilim. The reason why God sent the flood was to destroy the Nephilim, which were the giants that were around in those days. So when Jesus said that the end of time would be like it was in the days of Noah, it is not simply that they were marrying and giving in marriage and drinking and eating before the flood. That's what the people were doing. But God didn't send the flood because people were eating and drinking and getting married. God sent the flood because the Nephilim were taking over the world. And in fact, they had gotten to be so all-pervasive that the only people on the face of the earth who were not Nephilims
were Noah, his three sons, his wife, and their wives. Mark says, are they going to be the aliens? That's exactly right. What we think are aliens are actually the children of fallen angels who had physical relations with human women. And they produced an offspring of giants known as Nephilim. Now, that word Nephilim is simply a Hebrew word which means giants. And if you want to have fun sometime, go through the Old Testament and do a word search on the word giant. You'll see a man who had a 12-foot bed. The giant Goliath was so big that his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his shield weighed 300 talents of brass. I mean, you're talking about one really, really, really big and really strong guy. But that's what it's going to be like after we're taken out of here. The world that we see right now is going to change unbelievably drastically, and it's never going to come back. When the rapture happens and every single Christian is taken off of this earth, there won't be one person that can read the Bible. There won't be one person that can understand even the least concept of Scripture. Every single person will be an unbeliever at that time. Donna just said that she read that they drank blood from an ox at Mandela's service. Well, yes, they did. And what does that show you? That shows you the pagan nature of the man that the world was honoring. And all of those tribes from Africa and all that stuff going on, those people can get saved just like anybody else. We need to share the gospel with them. Absolutely. We should be sharing the gospel with everybody. But it's very interesting that at Mandela's service, they were drinking ox blood. You know, that's the type of thing that you read about in the Old Testament, where they are sacrificing and doing all sorts of nasty things with the blood of animals. But we are running out of time, so let's get back to the book of Revelation, chapter 13. Revelation 13, where we read, let me get back there. I hope this is helping you tonight. I hope you find it interesting. You know, when you compare Scripture with Scripture, you see very, very quickly what this mark could be, and you see what this mark could not. Certainly, it could not be Islam. It can't be anything that's, it can't be a religion. It can't be an ideology. This is a, I don't want to call it a chip because the Bible doesn't say the word chip, but it's a mark, okay? And it goes inside your body. And it controls finances. It controls buying. And think about this. I want you to think about this. If there was a chip inside your body which controlled all buying and selling, I mean, every aspect of buying and selling, how great would that have an impact on your life? You couldn't go to the grocery store? Mark just asked this question. If, because I had just said that 5 minutes after the rapture, no one will understand the Bible. He said, then how will there be those that will be washed clean? The first thing you have to understand, Mark, is that when people get saved in the tribulation, they don't get saved the way we get saved. It's going to be a completely different salvation program. It's going to be a combination of faith and works. Right now, when you and I get saved, it is Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9 says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, and not of works, lest any man should boast. But in the time of the tribulation, it's something completely different. And let me just find this
for you from Revelation. Revelation 12, verse 17 says this, "And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ." Jackie, could you post Revelation 12, 17, please? Look how people get saved in the time of the tribulation, okay? They get saved through a combination of faith and works. They do not get saved by grace and grace alone. The age of grace will disappear with the rapture, and it will never come back. When the church gets taken out, we take the age of grace with us. And look at 12:17. "And the dragon," that's the devil, "was wroth with the woman," that's Israel, "and went to make war," that is not Mary, that is Israel, "and went to make war with the remnant of her seed." Now, these are the Jews, "which keep the commandments of God." You don't get saved by keeping commandments, "and have the testimony of Jesus Christ." You have a testimony because you're saved. You don't have a testimony to get saved. Becca says, "Does that mean that God's Holy Spirit will not be present during the tribulation?" No, I believe that God's Holy Spirit has always been on earth and will be here absolutely during the time of the tribulation. Mark says, "So my question is, how will they know that it's a combination of works and faith? We have the Bible, they won't." Well, you know what? You guys are asking some great questions tonight. So let's take a look. Let's take a look. In the book of Revelation, let's see, where am I going to go to get the answer from Mark? All right. God raises up the 144,000 witnesses. And it is very, very important that he does, because without those 144,000 witnesses and without the two witnesses, in fact, turn to Revelation 14 and look at what it says in, oh, I'm sorry, Revelation 11, verse 3. "And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days. That's 3.5 years. What a coincidence. Clothed in sackcloth. So we see right there that God is going to bring back Moses and Elijah, and there are going to be his two witnesses, which will prophesy for 3.5 years. So that will be a testimony right there. And then he's going to raise up the 144,000 witnesses, which are going to go into all the world and share the gospel one more time. But it's not the same gospel that you and I got saved on. And let me show you which gospel that this is going to be. Turn to Revelation 14:6. Revelation 14:6. "And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people." And here's the everlasting gospel. Verse 7, Revelation 14, 7, "saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him that made the heaven and the earth and the sea and the fountains of waters." So, Mark, you are going to have three witnesses on the earth during those 3.5 years. You're going to have the 144,000 male virgin Jews. You're going to have the two witnesses prophesying in Israel. And you're going to have the angel, an actual angel, flying through the sky with the everlasting gospel. And verse 7 of Revelation 14 is the gospel that will save people
in the time of the Great Tribulation? It's simply this: fear God, give glory to Him, for the hour of His judgment is come, and worship Him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of waters. They're not going to have churches the way that we have them. They're not going to have services the way that we have. It's going to be a very different time. I can't stress that enough. You know, we think with our own filter, and because we live in the age of grace, we think that that's going to continue forever. Well, it's going to continue forever for us, but when the church is raptured out, like a window that slams shut, the age of grace is over, and then you get this. You get the 144,000 witnesses, 12,000 out of the 12 tribes. You're going to get Moses and Elijah on the Temple Mount in Israel. And you're going to get the angel flying through the sky with the everlasting gospel. One night we will do a Bible study on the different gospels that are in the New Testament. There's seven of them, and they are not all the same. Paul's gospel is not the same as Peter's gospel. The gospel of the angel in the tribulation is not the same as the gospel of salvation by grace through faith. These things are not the same. And, you know, we get very lazy. And, in fact, Jackie, post that verse from 2 Timothy, please. Study to show thyself approved unto God, rightly dividing the word of truth. Paul tells Timothy to rightly divide the word of truth, and yet we get lazy and we don't do it. Gulf Dogs asks this question: I've always understood by taking the mark of the beast, you cannot enter the kingdom. Is this true? Yes, that is 100% true. Anyone who takes the mark of the beast will go to hell. Anyone. 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 And the thing that you have to keep in mind, now, if a Christian, okay, Gulf Dog, I'm not done. There's a second half to that answer. If a Christian in the age of grace were to take the mark of the beast, that would not send them to hell, because we teach eternal security. You can't lose your salvation. But Christians in the age of grace will not be in the time of the Great Tribulation. The Bible says that you will be saved by the testimony of Jesus Christ and by keeping the commandments. That's a work. And in the time of the tribulation, anyone and everyone who takes the mark of the beast will be damned for all eternity. There is no way to undo it. So that's what the mark of the beast has got to be, is a physical mark or a chip or a dot or a spot or a ball or a square, whatever it's going to be, but it will go inside your body, and it will control financial transactions. You won't be able to buy orange juice, a bagel, a cup of coffee, a meal, a Band-Aid. You won't be able to get gas for your car. You won't be able to buy a car. You won't be able to pay one single bill. You won't be able to pay your mortgage. You won't be able to pay your rent. You won't be able to pay your doctor bill, your dentist bill. If somebody could shut off your ability to buy and sell anything, that's somebody who could control your life virtually 100%. We have a great question from Karen. What about being forced to take the mark of the beast against your will? All right, let's go back. That's a great question. Thank you, Karen. Let's go back and take a look. Let's go back and take a look. Turn to Revelation 13, please.
Revelation 13. And I'm looking for one specific verse. Hold on 1 second. All right. The Bible says, Revelation 13, verse 4, and they worshiped the beast, which gave power unto the beast. And they worshiped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto him? Who is able to make war with him? That's one of the funny things. And I'm sorry, it's not Karen. It was Carol who asked that question. Nobody will have to be forced to take the mark of the beast. Anybody who takes it will take it willingly. If you don't take it, they will kill you. They will not make you take it, because the mark of the beast is an act of worship. It is an act of worship is what it is. So no, you will not be forced to take it. The people who take it will take it because they want to, not because they have to. And the ones who don't take it, they will be killed. They will be beheaded. And that's what will happen to them. And they will be killed in that manner. So, I hope this program was helpful to you tonight, and I hope you got something out of it. If you have any last minute questions, just post them in the chat room now, and I'll try my best to answer them. But that's what it's going to be. The mark of the beast is a piece of technology. You know, people say to me all the time, they say, why do you think it's technology? There's no technology in the Bible. Well, obviously there is. Obviously there is. And this mark, which controls all financial transactions, is a piece of technology. Now, what's interesting is that the Antichrist will need the technology. The devil will not. When the devil shows up, he has all the power that he needs. He doesn't need to use chips. He doesn't need to use spots. And that mark that people take, again, they will take it out of adoration and out of worship. Carol says, could the chip in Obamacare be the mark of the beast? I don't think so, because this mark of the beast is global. Obamacare is just in America. And anything that you want to apply to the mark of the beast has to be a global thing. It can't be just in this country. It has to be something that's worldwide, because it's going to affect the entire world. It's going to affect everybody. So thank you very much for tuning in this evening. It was great doing the show with you tonight. Very, very glad we have lots of new people in. Chat room is nice and full. And for those of you who are new, we meet here every Tuesday night from 9 to 11. And the way that you saw the show is exactly what we do. So I hope you'll join us on Tuesday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern time. Don't forget, go to kristensfriends.com, and we're going to send you a box of free gospel tracks. We have the Christian track. We have the Lucas track. Please go to kristensfriends.com and order your box of tracks. Hope you guys have a great week. And we're going to have a good show for you this Sunday coming up. And we're going to have a special Christmas show coming up as well. So thank you very much. Have a great rest of your week. And we'll see you back here on Sunday night at 9 o'clock. Good night, everybody.